When you sent me to pray to the Lord your God for you, you said, just tell us what the Lord our God says, and we will do it. In the contemporary English version, it says, you are putting your lives at risk by sending me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God. Tell us everything the Lord our God says, and we'll do it. Folks, scary prayers. Is there such a thing? See, they're not necessarily the easy prayers that we're accustomed to. Most of us, we prefer the nice prayer route. We often pray, God bless us. God help me. God protect me. We often pray these kind of prayers, and those aren't bad prayers, but they aren't scary prayers. Because see, those kind of prayers allow us to keep our distance from God. Scary prayers take us out of the comfort zone, where we're asking God to do more than just keep us safe. You see, folks, they're intimate prayers, which if we pray them, we'll open ourselves up much more to God. Sounds fun, right? Scary prayers, like David prayed, Lord, search my heart. The first scary prayer was prayed by David in Psalms 139, and David's enemies had accused him of having wrong motives. You see, instead of defending himself, David turned to God and said, God, search my heart and see if this is true. You see, folks, in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You may wonder, folks, why? Why would we ask God to search our heart? He already knows it. You see, without Jesus Christ, folks, we have bad hearts. Amen? Actually, we need to understand that without Jesus Christ, we don't have a good heart at all. You see, we often make the statement about people, oh, they have such a good heart. And actually, folks, if we want to be truthful, they don't, because Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. You see, the complete Jewish Bible translation in the, says the wicked, the King James wicked, is actually mortally sick. The fallen nature is a fatal condition that is incurable. It can only be remedied, amen, by a heart transplant. And this helps us to understand that our hearts are wicked and incurable. Even with Christ, we struggle. But this scary prayer may help us to uncover more about ourselves, which is why it's not so nice. You see, we easily deceive ourselves. We easily deceive our others. And most often, we deceive ourselves. For example, here's a dangerous question. How many of you have told a lie even since you've been a Christian? Don't raise your hands. Often people lie to themselves. When they sin, they tell themselves, well, it's not too bad. It could have been worse. Or I can stop after one drink. Or I'm not full of pride. I'm just as good as anybody else. In fact, I'm better because I don't lust. Or I'm not materialistic. Or I just like nice things. Well, I'm not a gossip. I just want to pass on a prayer request. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God. See, folks, the scary prayer gives God the opportunity to show you some things about yourself, you see, which can bring you into more intimate relationship with God. The hope is that the Holy Spirit will transform you more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. How about praying, show me where I'm wicked, God? David was asking God, while I'm being really vulnerable, God, see if there's anything in me that's offensive or wicked. How many want to ask that scary prayer and ask God, Lord, show me where I'm wicked? See, I told you folks, this is not a nice prayer. It takes courage to pray a scary prayer. Amen. We have to really trust that God loves us and that God won't shoot lightning bolt at us when our sin is revealed. Have you ever noticed, folks, it is sometimes really difficult to see our sins? Yet, it is easy to find everybody else's sin. And this can be one of the most God-honoring prayers that you would ever pray. God, giving God permission, folks, to point out any sin that is in your heart. Hallelujah. And when God points it out, amen, we must deny or become defensive about that. Submit to God. Cooperate with God to make the changes that we need to make in our lives. See, the best way to start is by confessing to God. Come clean about some things. Admit some things. I have an addiction issue. God, I'm full of pride. I've got some lust issues, God. My anger, God, is out of control. God, sometimes I'm just materialistic and selfish. God, I need some deliverance. There's a prayer, I surrender all. You see, Jesus broken, he was broken and he was poured out for you and for me. The next prayer is one you may not want to pray. It's not nice. It's not comfortable. But at the Last Supper, Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11:24, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is my body, broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. You see, folks, we don't like to be broken. Come on. We don't like that. It's uncomfortable. But the woman's sacrifice of love just before the Last Supper, Jesus was anointed by a woman at Bethany. In Mark chapter 14, 3 through 6, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that were indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. You see, somewhere along the way, this woman found that she was valued. Somewhere along the way, she found that she was respected and honored by Jesus. She experienced the power of God's love. And maybe, folks, maybe it was the first time she had ever felt loved. You see, it transformed her, and she wanted to worship Jesus in the most sacrificial way that she could even imagine. She took something worth an entire year's income and poured it out on God. It was gone just that quick, and some people in the room just freaked out about it, and they were furious. How could she do that? Why would she do that? Maybe put a drop or two on his head, but not the entire bottle. And essentially, folks, she was saying, I'm giving you God my whole life. Amen. I'm giving you the most valuable possession that I have. Folks, this represents my life. Jesus, you have given your all for me. And now I'm giving you my all. That's what Jesus wants us to pray. Lord, I surrender all. God, take my life. Amen. And make it an offering for your glory. Folks, every year, every day, we make numerous decisions. You get up in the morning, what cereal do I want to eat? What do I want to eat for supper? Whether do I want to rent an apartment or buy a home? Where do I go to college? What career path do I take? What church do I attend? Do I trust God? Hey, who I should marry? And you go on. What to do with your boss tells you to close your eyes to some wrongdoing that is happening at work. And you make all kinds of decisions every day. All these choices, our lives, folks, I want you to understand tonight, our lives can be changed forever by one decision. God has a way. He has ways to determine His will in your life. We need to pray. James recognized that it is not always easy to know what to do. So he has explained in James 1 that we are to ask God for the wisdom that we need in our life. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that it giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Folks, go to the scripture and find out what to do. In Psalms 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Folks, understand tonight, God's word has much to say on how we are to live our lives and what we are to do. Amen. We need to go to the scripture without misusing the scripture. We all heard a story, the way the Bible's been misused for guidance. A young man who used the flip and point method in reading the Bible. And one day, while wondering what to do with his life, he flipped the Bible open and pointed to Matthew 27:5, which says, Judas went and hanged himself. Thinking he should try again, he flipped to pointed to another place, landed in Luke 10:27, which says, go and do likewise. Trying once more, he arrived at John 13:27, which says, what you do, do quickly. Don't misuse the things of God. And too often, we are guilty of not considering what the Bible says on an issue. In the Bible, God has spelled out all we need to know. The Bible is full of God's commandments that offer us direction in most of life's decisions. And the more we know of God's word, folks, the more quickly we know what God wants us to do. We have to seek out godly counsel. In Psalms 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, folks, oftentimes we will go to the people for counsel. And sometimes we seek them out because we want approval of plans that we've already made. So a lot of times we, you know, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. And so sometimes we find ourselves migrating toward people that we know think like we do. Sometimes we genuinely want their guidance. But when it comes to the matter of God's will for our lives, our biggest issue is not the determining of God's will. The determining of God's will really changes us. As times, but I think the biggest thing as it pertains to the will of God is the actual doing the will of God. Come on. A lot of times we know what we need to be doing. And we can talk to people and they say, yeah, you need to do this, this, and this, but it's actually doing it is the difficult thing sometimes. A group of people from the Word of God, the survivors of Babylon invasion, in 586 BC. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar mounted his first campaign against Judah and Jerusalem. And at the time, the city of Jerusalem had their walls torn down, and the king captured the temple and destroyed it. And all this happened just as God prophesied through Jeremiah and the prophets. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar had sent up Jewish governor over the land and went back home. And leaving behind the poorest of the poor, the prophet Jeremiah and a garrison troop, and the assassination attempt on the governor was told to the governor by the guerrilla leaders. And the leader offered to kill the offender, and the governor, a fellow named Gedaliah, refused to believe that this was being said to him. And not long after, the governor was murdered, and the few survivors of Jerusalem were taken into captivity by the perpetrators. So the guerrilla leaders named Johanan, who had warned Gedaliah the assassination plan, when he heard what was happened, he gathered the men together. And he went after these perpetrators. So when Johanan and his men caught up and the battle was fought and the people were liberated and Jeremiah was among them and filled with fear at what the king of Babylon might do when they found out that the governor that he had put over the people was murdered, Johanan started toward the land of Egypt. But before going very far, Johanan and all the people had a bright idea and they all agreed on this. They said, let's go to Jeremiah and let's get him to go to God on our behalf. We need the Lord's direction and on what we should do. They went to Jeremiah, what appears to be a genuine heart. Jeremiah, tell us what we need to do. Go to God and we'll do it. They went to him with a promise. Whatever God tells us to do, Jeremiah, we'll do it. Whatever God tells us to go, we'll go. And Jeremiah agreed to their request and went before the Lord. 10 days later, Jeremiah comes back with an answer. God's answer to the people was very gracious. Stay in the land. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon. Stay here and I will bless you and protect you. See, God's answers also included a warning. Do not go to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, what you fear will happen to you will happen there. If you go to Egypt, I will judge you and destroy you. If you go to Egypt, I will send Nebuchadnezzar after you. See, folks, unfortunately, over the course of 10 days in waiting, the people's hearts had gone from somewhat softened back to being rock hard and abstinent. And for as soon as the words were out of the mouth of Jeremiah's mouth, John and those that were with him accused Jeremiah of lying and trying to destroy them. And with that said tonight, the people left for Egypt, taking Jeremiah with them. What was the issue in this situation? What was the issue? The issue was the lack of commitment of the people to doing God's will. And not so much knowing what the will of God was, but doing the will of God. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. Don't make promises to God that you don't have no intention of keeping. Come on. The Bible warns of the danger of making vows to God and not keeping them. And when it comes to seeking and doing God's will, don't pre-decide what you're going to do and then go out and seek God's rubber stamp on your plans. You see, in Jeremiah 42, Jeremiah used the words determined. Jeremiah, folks, was aware, despite the show of spirituality, that the people had already decided what they were going to do regardless of what God said. Come on. How often are we like the people that Jeremiah was dealing with? Come on, I'm talking to you tonight, folks. How often do we do what Jeremiah's people did? Amen? How often is it that we come to God and His word looking for His stamp of approval rather than His will? God, approve what I want to do. Instead of going to God and say, God, what is it you want me to do? How many times have we gone to another person and asked the question, what should I do? When in our minds we are looking for, what we're looking for is for them to validate what we have already determined to do. Folks, when you and I become aware of what God's will is, obedience is required of all of us. You hear me tonight. When you understand what God wants you to do, He expects you to obey. In 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You see, folks, obedience to God, to the Lord, is the hardest thing for us most of the time. We want our way. We think we know better. Amen? Now, I want you to understand tonight, obedience brings blessings, just as Jeremiah clearly teaches. Amen? We have at the top, and we have at our disposal, folks, the necessary tools to determine God's will in our life. Prayer and patience, the word of the Lord, godly counsel. We got all kinds of things to determine the word. But all of that you can receive cannot make you do it. That's up to you. Come on. What is often lacking is a commitment on our parts to be doing the will of God. We need willing and surrendered spirits that say yes to God, regardless of what our head, what's in our heads to the contrary. Come on, folks. We all want comfort. We all want God to bless us. We all want God to keep His hand upon us. We all want these kind of things. But what about God? Where do you want me to go? God, do you want me to leave my home? God, do you want me to go here? What do you want me to do? God, I'll teach a Bible study. Yeah, it's going to take a night of the week and also another night to study, do all these things. God, what do you want me to do? We need willing and surrendered spirits that say yes to God regardless of what we want in this physical body. Even now, some of us are struggling with the issue of the will of God in your life. Some of you are honestly don't know what His will is. Keep on in prayer. Search the scriptures. Familiarize yourself even more with God's word. Wait upon the Lord. And some of you know what God's will is. Whether it pertains to a relationship, whether it pertains to friendship, moral questions, amen. But folks, if you are honest, you'll agree that the real issue is your in your life is obedience to the will of God, to the Lord, and commitment to doing His will. If this is it, let me encourage you to stop looking for approval and go down a different path. Say, Lord, as much as my flesh wants to go on its own way, God, I want to be found doing Your will. God, give me boldness to be a witness for You. Hey, folks, here's a prayer that you may not want to pray. In Acts 4, 29 through 31, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants with that with all boldness that may speak Thy word by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in Thy name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It's an amazing prayer. You see, the apostles had just been dragged before the authorities, and they were preparing to pay physical price for sharing their faith. And the apostles had been commanded by the authorities not to speak in the name of Jesus. They threatened them with physical beatings if they continued. So what did they do, folks? And did they turn tail and run? Did they hide out? Did they keep quiet? No! They prayed for greater boldness to speak about Jesus, even in the face of potential death threats. Amen, folks. This prayer seems like a foolish prayer to pray. But any time you step out and do the will of God, you're coming down on the right side of this transaction. Hallelujah. 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 First, the place where they were meeting, the Bible says, was shaken. Amen. This happened when Paul and Silas were at Philippi. It was a manifestation of the supernatural. Come on, I'm asking tonight, is there anybody who wants a manifestation of the supernatural in your life? Because when you do, you're going to get a little shaking going on. Amen. There was an explosion of power in a spiritual realm in that cell. And God gave them courage, he said, to speak boldly. I want you to put yourself in the place to be used of God. And he will orchestrate a miracle in your life. Scary prayers. Search me. I surrender all. God, speak through me. They may not be safe, but they're very profitable. You see, folks, the man sitting in a restaurant near a man who suddenly jumped up and tried to pull something out of his throat. And as the man watched this man choking with something in his throat, he was clear of the obstruction, but the man suddenly turned his back and began waving his arms. Sensing the seriousness of the situation, this gentleman who was watching went and wrapped his arms around him and performed a Heimlich maneuver. The helpful man said, when I arose to put my arms around him, I was nervous and I was fearful. You see, I wondered, will I do it right? Will it work? You know, we don't do it every day. And the choking man, when it came out, he turned to him and said, you saved my life. Let me point something out to you. The same fear that the helpful man had felt before helping this choking man is often the same fear, folks, that keeps many of us from witnessing about your great God. The tragedy is that many people may die without being saved simply because we fail to offer them the gospel message. We will sit across the table from them and watch them die because we wonder, will I do it right? Will it work? Sometimes we may think that these people are pushing us away. When in reality, they are showing signs of desperation. You see, folks, as Christians, you and I, we have the answer. It takes courage to share your faith. It takes courage to confront those who are dying with the message, this gospel message of life. Let's stand. I ask you, folks, will you be willing to pray one more of those scary prayers? Will you be willing to ask God to search our hearts? God, reveal the wicked ways in us. Would you be willing to pray and tell God, God, I'm going to surrender all. And ask the Lord to use us to witness, especially where it takes boldness to do so. I ask you tonight, can you come and pray a scary prayer? And be like the woman with the alabaster box and say, God, I'm going to pour everything out right here tonight. Everything that I'm worth, I'm pouring it out here tonight at this altar. Come on, folks. Is there anybody willing to come and pray a scary prayer tonight? Come on, give it to God tonight. Come on, you can pray, God protect your prayers anytime. You can pray, God bless me anytime. But let's seek God tonight. Say, God, I want to be used of you. Here's my prayer, God. It's scary. I'm nervous to pray this, God. But I want your will. God, I want to be used of you.